Well, Tonko, let's talk a little bit about nursing homes. When I watch the governor, the reporters are intent on asking him how you solve the nursing home problem. There are lots of issues. One of them is that if you put him into a spot where he has to say whether or not nursing homes should take people who have the disease or should take them back, he says yes. What do you say?
Well, I think, you know, if whatever the decision is there, we need to make certain that the appropriate investments are made in our nursing homes. You know, we have seen the disaster, New York being New York City, primarily Metro New York being the epicenter of this crisis, but the state, for that matter, being the epicenter of this crisis. What we learned painfully is that if you do not have the personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks, which were, you know, really in short supply. If you do not have the testing kits, it's all about testing, testing, testing. That is the determinant. It's about testing. It's about, you know, making certain that there is tracing so that those who have been diagnosed trace those individuals with whom they have interacted. And then it's about making certain that there's a plan for recovery. But we cannot target this pandemic, this COVID-19 challenge, without the appropriate investment in testing. And that certainly applies to our nursing homes. You know, if they're going to be impacted by the numbers, because, you know, many are the home for our most senior residents, our most senior individuals. They are very targeted by this COVID-19 situation. And so we need necessarily to have the testing kits and the evaluation of those kits. And it's a frightening thing, Helen, to think that this country was so reliant on some other economy, some other nations, for not only the testing kits, but the swabs and the various elements that are required with these kits. The fact that we were searching worldwide for masks, it is a learning curve here for all of us that we need to make certain that self-sufficiency, reigniting some domestic manufacturing within our industrial sector so that we have a stronger outcome in case another pandemic should hit, and it most likely will.
So what's the role of the Congress in this?
I think the role of Congress certainly is to be bold. To make certain that we apply we reach to the legislation that will address the immediacy of the concern. We did that with an interim package most recently that added $75 billion toward hospitals and nursing homes and healthcare providers that will help with the purchase of needed personal protective equipment. And we need to keep in mind, too, there's been a precipitous drop in the revenues at these healthcare facilities. Simply, we were telling people to avoid hospitals. You know, emergency room activity was down significantly. Elective surgery was being put off. And so there was a precipitous drop in revenues. But beyond that, we needed to target the billions, the $75 billion, toward these centers, these healthcare providers, so that personal protective equipment, the masks, the gowns, were available, the gloves that are necessary to protect the frontline workers, and to avoid the further spread of the virus. So a simple thing like protective equipment became a major obstacle in our efforts to combat COVID-19 simply because the supplies weren't there. And so we invoked the $75 billion targeted amount, and $25 billion for testing in the latest interim package. You know, our first bill went head on for testing. But then we found that we had to push the administration to not only implement the Defense Production Act, the DPA, but to do it robustly, to make certain that you see this as a wartime situation where you convert your manufacturing sector to produce what we vitally need in order to respond to this COVID-19 challenge.
You know, Paul Tonko, so much of this has to do with money. And I know that the small businesses in your district, the 20th, are really, really hurting. Is there any way you see immediately that we can be more help to them than we have been?
To the business community itself?
Yes.
I think that, again, what we have been doing with the CARES package was putting together a paycheck protection program. And the first package, what's called the CARES 1.0, really put together an investment that would be channeled to our small business community. And I think it was to the tune of $349 billion that was out the door in 14 days. And so the Treasury Secretary, Mr. Mnuchin, came forward and said, we need additional money. And he said, another $250 billion because of the robust quality of the program. But then it became apparent that some of the biggest players that didn't perhaps have the most urgent need for the money were the first to be addressed by the administration. And so the leadership of our House, through the voice of Speaker Pelosi, engaged and directed by the caucus, said, look, if you want that $250 billion, we want to put bells and whistles on this. We want strings attached. We want to make certain that some of the companies, the small businesses, some of the smallest businesses that don't have ongoing relationships with the banking groups need to be protected. So you heard about all the hammering away on the House, on the Democrat majority, for the delay of 2 weeks in getting a bill passed. That was not to be an obstacle. It was not to be in the way of progress. It was to make certain that we got the dollars to the businesses that most required it. And so the result of a 2-week negotiating with the United States Senate produced an interim package. They came up with an additional $310 billion, and $60 billion of which we insisted be channeled through community-based lenders, through small banks, and through credit unions. That package also included $50 additional billion in SBA disaster loans and $10 billion in SBA disaster grants that enables the small businesses to have flexibility. They can take a program where they keep their payroll intact, or they can take this a loan that becomes a grant that enables them to invest in getting through the tough times. So it was, not an easy thing to accomplish. We had to dig in, grind in the heels and insist on getting assistance with targeted focus on some of the most at-risk small businesses, but we got it done. And I'm proud of the role that our caucus played via the voice of Speaker Pelosi to make things happen in a way that I think now getting dollars to the small businesses in our community that are the lifeblood of, they are the heartbeat of a comeback for this economy as we get through this crisis.
Indeed, that is true. So let me ask you this. So what is this pandemic showing us about the importance of broadband access? Not everybody has it, but an awful lot of people, school children, everybody else, are totally dependent on this. Is there any way to make sure that we can do better providing for everybody?
Well, absolutely. I think with the reliance on technology, where people, students, or grade school students, high school students, were asked to, learn from home. So this was about students learning through technology. It was about businesses conducting their day-to-day routines by technology. It was telemedicine, where people were resorting to that opportunity to be able to stay well and stay healthy. So basically what happened here was an understanding that technology can play a critical role for every element, every sector of the age spectrum to assist in business. And so what we have here now is a driving force, a learning curve that has filled everyone, or at least many voices, to advance broadband investment. And we recently released a measure by the House, by the majority, that will speak to a significant investment in broadband that will enable us to make certain that areas that are not served or underserved will get the investment they need, that will incorporate better mapping for the outcome of broadband. We're going to use some of the bills that I did, they were rolled into the package, that do inventorying, because the investment in Washington from the federal government in broadband doesn't come through a single agency, but a host of a plethora of agencies. We want to make certain that we know exactly how those dollars have been spent, where the need might be in the geography format of this country, and make certain that we get that done, because it became very apparent that it's an essential. It's somewhat like the whole wiring of the country for telephone service in the 1930s. It became our modern day essential service that will be responded to by this broadband package.
And Paul Tonko, we thank you. Paul Tonko of the 20th Congressional District, a special friend of WAMC's and of mine. So appreciate your being here, Paul. When we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you the Veep question.
Okay, my pleasure.